5 tips for building that brand consistency. Erica and Elizabeth are about to blow your mind with amazing tips that you should take away and implement after this podcast. Let's get into it.
Brand consistency builds awareness. If you're trying to introduce people to who you are, even like you said, as an influencer, or if you're a business,
people have to know that they don't have to please everyone, but they should stick true to what they believe in, what they're good at, and not worry about that. You're never going to please everyone, right? Find your niche, exactly what you say in your product or service, and just stick to that and be really good at that.
Welcome everybody to Start Your Influence Podcast. This is Valerie, and today I have two special guests with us, Elizabeth and Erica. Welcome everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Val.
All right, awesome. And today we will be talking about 5 tips for developing brand consistency by 500s. So let's get to know Elizabeth and Erica and talk about who they are and get to know them and welcome them onto Start Your Influence Podcast.
So I'm Erica. And for a very, very long time, I was a photographer, and I kind of switched over to becoming a consultant just because I was working so much on photo shoots with a lot of advertising agencies and media development companies that they started asking me for my opinion after I'd take the photos of how they could use them and how they could market them. Once I started to help them with their own marketing, I realized that I could do that as a business as well. So I started consulting in different industries, mainly the wedding and event industry, which was where I started my photography work. And then after that, after meeting Elizabeth about almost 15 years ago now,
yes.
working on weddings together and trying to get our work published in magazines, we just stayed friends for a really long time and ended up working together and crossing paths in many different ways for many different years. And then one day we just decided that we were both at a different point in our lives where we're like, you know, let's start something new. And so that's where 500s came about. And Elizabeth, you can tell them a little bit more about 500s and invite yourself too.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. And as Erica stated, we've known each other for 15 years, became friends very quickly when we met each other. My past life, I owned a very large event design firm in Toronto. I had 2 locations, did a lot of large-scale event design that got published across the world, and awesome. Ran into Erica's photography, which was over-the-top beautiful, and we collaborated on many projects, and as she went into consulting, so did I. When awesome. I was, you know, had enough of that industry, I started consulting within the event industry, came down to Florida and started, opened a school and wrote some curriculum for the school and was giving back to the event design industry. And Erica and I crossed paths again, consulting within that school, and we decided to open 500. So the whole premise on 500s was we wanted people to be able to have affordable services, to have all these years of experience and be able to get marketing and communication services for a flat fee rate, which is really kind of unheard of in the industry, where you can see straight up front, it's very transparent, the services that you receive, and it's always $500. So someone can, if they are trying to build their business, they can do it kind of one piece of the puzzle at a time and add services. And we will meet with them, do a discovery meeting, help them understand the direction they need to go in if they're unsure. Or as when we met you, you were sure of the direction that you wanted to go in, but it's just helping that client achieve the success that they want and hoping that they come back. Because we provide really exceptional service to them.
And because we get them done, and because we get the services done fast. That was another big reason why we wanted to start this company, was because working in media and just working in consulting in general, most of these contracts are really long. So you get to know a company over the course of a year, maybe even longer, if you're lucky. But one thing that we noticed when we would work for companies was that they had a lot of small projects that they just needed to get off their plate. And we would be with them for these big, long hauls. And quite often, there was not either enough budget to do those small projects, or there just wasn't enough manpower to do it. So we were like, let's break them down. Let's break down these big, huge projects into small pieces, just in case they have, you know, maybe they do have the skills to do part of the project on their own without a big, huge consulting team. Or maybe they have staff who can do that as well. So just like when we worked with you, Val, like, you know, you already had like this business, you already had this funnel, you already had this website, but you're like, hey, I just need that one piece. I just need someone to work with me on copy because I'm busy. And that's the kind of stuff that we kind of, we developed work and a company for people like that.
So the 500 is pretty much a marketing business. So you guys provide marketing services, correct?
Marketing and communication. Yeah.
Communications. And can you just list off, just for me, it's very curious. I think my listeners want to hear a little bit more. So since it's $500, that sounds like really affordable for a lot of business owners. So, and a lot of business owners may be listening to this podcast. What kind of services do you guys provide that are for $500?
We have a lot of different options. So we have different categories of services ranging from like copywriting to digital marketing to mentoring, consulting, graphic design. But some of the small specific things that you can get for $500, like in graphic design, you can get like a custom logo, or you can get copywriting for your website. You can get an email journey for one advertising campaign created, or you can do...
website is a really popular one. Yeah. Since our launch, we've done a really large amount of copywriting for people that are having this, you know, they've got the website, they have it where they want, but they just need the wording, they need that final professional touch to take pull everything together, and then they can use all of that copywriting and their marketing materials. And we love working with our clients to give them this end product that they can go out and then use. They don't have to continue to use us. They can, you know, kind of go from there and be able to use them.
Cool. So what is copywriting? Let's just clear that up for people who are not familiar with marketing terms. If you guys could explain what copywriting is, that'd be awesome.
It's the words. It's the words in a business essence, and in the sense of a website, for example, which is one of our most popular products that we offer. Copywriting is the words that describe who you are on your website. It's delivered in a sales message. It's delivered in a proper flow that kind of takes the customer or the viewer or the follower through a certain stages of what you do and how you do it. So we work with businesses strategically to understand who they are and then write about it.
And as we're talking about today, it's about brand and personality. It's about describing their brand and giving it in an accurate and true fashion and bringing out the personality of the owner of the business as well in the copywriting.
Right. So just a fun fact to those who are listening, I actually did copywriting with 500s and they did an amazing job. So the copywriting was actually the writing on my website. A lot of us may think it's not as important, but it actually is super valuable to converting. So if you want an effective website page, the words that are in the front page, on the home page, on the other parts of your website are so important, and they will determine if you will get that booking, if you will sell that product or service. So super important. If you do not know what copywriting is, you can go ahead and check 500s out after and see what kind of a work they do and just learn a little bit more. So thank you guys for the introduction, Elizabeth and Erica. Amazing job. And I think we all enjoyed getting to know you guys as professionals and what you guys do. So let's start off by talking about the 5 tips for developing brand consistency. And Erica and Elizabeth will give us a great preview and insight to this topic and those 5 tips today. So let's start off with the first part. What is brand consistency in the first place?
For sure. Brand consistency builds awareness. So if you're trying to introduce people to who you are, even like you said, as an influencer, or if you're a business, the first step towards brand awareness and building awareness is customer loyalty and recognition. So people have to be able to know who you are and what you do before they can come back for more. So there has to be a trust that you're building there. Your audience needs to be able to recognize your brand before they can buy from you again. So why is brand consistency important? Well, if you're trying to sell something, then they have to trust that you are good at what you do and that you know what you're talking about. And they have to be able to see you, like Elizabeth said, over and over again, so they know that you're legit.
Cool. So I have a quick question as well. What type of things can people see brand consistency in? So is that like in your website? Is that in the things you post? Is that even in the things you wear? Can that be something that's part of your brand consistency? What are some features or items or parts of your life that, or like of a business that can be considered brand consistency or part of a brand?
Really, everything that you talked about is part of part of a company's brand. Social media nowadays is a huge part of brand consistency, right, of what you use, especially that we see with yourself, that people use that consistency to get their brand out there and have the same look and feel using the same platforms, posting at the same times, having being goal specific on each platform individually. But as you asked, Val, you can, that could be, you know, your truck or your car with your business name on it. It could be the logo clothing that you wear. It's your printed material. It's everything, your website. All of those pieces of the puzzle need to have that same look and feel for your brand to create a consistent message so that it's always top of mind with the consumer.
I actually think, too, like one of the ways, like even a small way that might be recognizable for some of your followers is the way that you edit your photos. On Instagram, just having like a similar editing style to everything that you do creates a brand, and it creates a feeling and an emotion.
Definitely.
And it makes it recognizable. And if people can recognize you, then they can, you know, they can pair you up with certain types of attributes. Like, you know, wow, is she good at photography? Is she good at selling this? What does she do? Right? It makes people intrigued, and therefore you have a brand.
You motivated
That's
us
so
to get
good.
Cuter pictures of ourselves, Val.
It's true. I agree with that so much. I actually teach my students as well that brand consistency is even in the photos that you post and the editing that you have. It has to be the same style so that people, when they scroll even on their Instagram, they see your picture, and without even looking at the username, they can already recognize that it's Valerie or it's Erica or it's Elizabeth. You know, so they already see that who that is just because you're consistent. You already have a brand built out. And I think that is so powerful for a business, for Instagram influencers and so on. So that is awesome. Thank you for sharing. And let's just talk about some mistakes that people make when they're developing a brand, because I think we can use these mistakes and see and analyze ourselves if any of our listeners are already writing notes and considering what their brand is like. Maybe they can listen and see what mistakes they're making themselves.
So one of the main mistakes, there are many, but I would say that a good mistake that people often make is in not maintaining their brand is too often in an uncertain economies, businesses are too quick to change and alter their identity. So you got to know who you are. And you got to stick to it. And there's ways to grow with your identity and to grow your brand in different directions without changing exactly who you are, because that confuses people. It confuses your customers.
And if you're tired of your logo and your tagline and your branding efforts, it probably means that it's just begun to sink in with your customers, right? So we're tired of it, but the actual customers are just getting used to it. So don't be too quick to change the identity. People try to do that and it becomes confusing and they don't have longevity when they do that.
So why is it bad to change your logo though? Like, often, is it like something that can affect like your customers, or are they thinking that something's wrong with your business or what?
Well, I think if you change it too often, you don't look legitimate. I'm not saying you can't. There's definitely ways to do it. And I think when you hire professionals to help you change your brand or change your look or your logo, I think that's a smart way to go about things, especially if you've been in business for a while and you already have established kind of an idea of who you are with customers, right? So if you're like this, if you're like a light and soft and airy kind of persona as a brand, and then you're like, you know what, we're going to go hard and edgy, that might be shocking to some of your customers.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. Like, I mean, it just might be too shocking. So there are ways that you can kind of bridge that gap. You can definitely change your brand. You just have to, there has to be strategy behind it.
And a lot of times we tell people, really take the time in the beginning, if it's a new business that's listening and they're starting, take the time to develop your brand and really determine, you know, what message do you want the consumer to get from your brand, and what is the look and feel of that, so that you can try from the beginning to launch in that direction and keep that look and feel with you for quite a while.
I agree. I think that's why I think it is important to hire graphic designers or those who are specialists and professionals in those areas, so then you don't have to change it every 5 months, but you can stick to one design that's really good and professional.
Yeah, same with the color palette. That whole color palette that you use, you can pick, you know, 3-4 colors and use right. it within that palette with your brand as well.
And you won't get bored so fast. Like, that's a nice solution for that. But yeah.
And it, and another one is producing content too quickly. This is like a common mistake because we're in a digital age where information is so easily accessible and it's so easy to create blogs and ebooks and all kinds of content really fast that we forget to be consistent. We forget to bring our brand in and stick to branding guidelines. And we can talk a little bit about branding guidelines if you want to, but we feel that's a core staple and we offer that service in our company. And that's really having a guideline that says who you are, what is your brand, and that's the guideline that goes out to everybody consistently, whether it's a staff member, whether it's a vendor that you hire, and they use those guidelines to move forward with your messaging, with your logo, with your look and feel, the usage of how you're going to use your brand. So,
and if you were a personal brand too, like you could even have a guideline that you would send out, like if like as an influencer, for example, you would create a little guide that talks about who you are and the things you kind of believe in, you know, the types of brands you want to work with, you know, what your overall look is, the things that you talk about, you know, in your feed or on your blogs or wherever on social media you do. So it's just staying true to that because you don't want to ever get products or opportunities that don't really go with who you are because you're not going to be very believable at selling that.
And it's great for public relations. If you have anything to do with public relations and you send that brand guideline out, that's really a message to the world about who you are, and it's going to be consistent when they write about you, when they talk about you. There could be images that you want used. It can all be part of that guideline.
But having too many voices represent your brand is not a great idea either, right? Because your brand should be about you and the things that you believe in and the things that you want to sell and the people you want to provide service or product for. When you allow multiple people to control, or sorry, multiple voices, I guess we can say, it doesn't have to necessarily be people, or just opinions, control your business's voice and your brand, you leave room for flaws in your marketing content. And you leave room for looking like you don't really stand for anything, or you don't really believe in one. You're not really going and showing that you're going down one specific path with your business and you have a goal in mind. Because I think what most people are attracted to when they come to a company or they come to an influencer is they're like, wow, that person really believes in that, or that person really is good at that thing. And if you are looking like you are kind of okay at a lot of random things, that doesn't really help people get behind you and want to follow you or want to buy from you.
I agree. I teach my students as well that you need to pick a certain subject or topic or niche that you are specified in. If you are going to be a blogger or influencer in five things, people are going to be confused on why they follow you. And I have a really good example that I think my listeners would enjoy as well. If you are going to take your date on to a restaurant, you're not going to take him to a buffet. Because even though buffet has everything, it just usually we don't want to take them to a buffet. You want to go to a specific restaurant, like a seafood place, an Italian place, or even a fast food place if you want to, you know. But it's one specific food genre or one specific food, right? So we wouldn't want to go to a buffet. And same thing when somebody is hiring you as a business or even looking at your profile as an influencer, they don't want to know that you do 500 things. They want to know what is that one thing that you're specified in that you can help me with. So I think that's a really good example in that topic.
And people have to know that they don't have to please everyone or even midsize any business. They worry about, are they pleasing everyone that is listening to them or reading? And that's not something that they should worry about. They should stick true to what they believe in, what they're good at, and not worry about that. Nobody, you're never going to please everyone, right? Find your niche, exactly what you say in your product or service, and just stick to that and be really good at that.
So good. That's awesome. Any more mistakes that we should talk about before we go into the five tips from the 500?
I think that one of the things that I see a lot is that people try so hard to be different. Now, I know that we just talked about, like, you know, finding your niche, but we're all kind of unique in our own ways, you know, before we even try, right? Like, everyone kind of comes to the table with their own set of skills and their own experiences, and I think that we kind of forget sometimes how different we really are to begin with. So sometimes it looks like people are trying really, really hard to just be different in their branding. Like, you know, they're going... They're just
too far
to the extremes instead of just building a real brand. Because what happens over time is that you might start out being, let's just say you are a photographer like I used to be. You might just start out being a regular photographer, just photographing models. And then one day you blow up your business over time and over experience and you become a magazine photographer who still photographs models, but now you have all of this experience and you're more different than you ever thought you were. You're different from everybody else. And I think people just they try too hard at the start to be so different and to be so artistic and to be so far to one side or one extreme that they forget that they have to grow into whatever their business or idea is supposed to be. So just give yourself time to really get to know who you are and to really work at your craft or work at your service or your product to get it to a certain place, because then your brand will reflect that too.
And being extreme to get noticed doesn't mean your sales are going to increase. People need to realize that, right? You can just being extreme and getting all this attention doesn't necessarily equal increased sales.
Yeah.
Cool. Fun fact, I actually was a photographer too when I first started off. I used to shoot weddings. I used to do like engagement photo shoots. I used to be a full-on photographer as well. So we have a lot of creatives here today. That is awesome. Cool. I actually have a question regarding photography. So we might have photographers on our podcast as well. And being a photographer before, I think that I kind of would understand too. So if I was a photographer, when we're talking about brand consistency, should I focus to like a specific people or an audience? For example, should I be a photographer who's solely focused in wedding photography, or should I brand myself as a photographer who does photography, like senior photography, wedding photography, for example, engagement photo shoots, or should you find some kind of niche or specific like stick to one thing? Is how should a photographer, you know, address this, especially with brand consistency and finding like what audience they should really focus on so they don't like confuse their audience?
I think that the easiest way that I ever attacked that topic was I had to find out what's the reason why I'm even a photographer in the first place. Because I think that it's a very personal, it's a personal art form. So if you have a why, like my why when I was a photographer was that I felt like I didn't have any good family photos when I was a kid. I felt like I didn't have enough coverage of my grandparents or any of those, you know, moments that people were asking me to photograph. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I want to do that for other people. I want to make sure that other people have amazing memories with their grandparents and that I'm capturing them. So my why wasn't, oh, I want to be a great photographer. You know, I want to be like a great wedding photographer. I love weddings. It was I loved that people could have these memories. So in the end, it kind of made my business kind of turned into and my photography kind of turned into family and events. And it did that kind of on its own. Of course, it would be strange if I started doing food photography. Now, that would be weird, right? Like, it doesn't really go together because I can't really sell food photography with memories, right? But the idea behind why I chose that was it was a personal thing. It was a personal decision to want to do something that I couldn't do for myself. I wanted to make sure these people had memories, and I wanted to make sure they had the best memories, and I wanted to photograph them the way that I wish my family was photographed when I was younger. So that was my why, and that kind of drove the type of photography I did. Had I had more of a stylistic eye, or I was, you know, more involved with or more, you know, enamored by color or texture, maybe food photography would have been my thing, right? Like, maybe I would have had a why for that. But I think you have to ask yourself, if you are a photographer, why you love it and why creating moments or creating imagery or art is important to you. And then I think that will that will help define what path you go on and what audience you're looking for.
And your style. Like, yeah. Erica had this beautiful style of photography that was natural with not a lot of edits in the photos.
That's awesome.
They're just very beautiful. And she always stuck to that. Her branding showed that. She wrote stories that talked about it and always kept that consistency that we've been talking about.
But it didn't matter where I did it. See, that's the thing, yes, right? Like, exactly. So I traveled all over the world and did it. Sometimes I would be photographing somebody in their house in, like, you know, not the most beautiful house. And then the next day I'd be photographing somebody on a mountain cliff edge in, like, a castle somewhere. And it all made sense because to those people, what I was doing was creating a moment for them. I was creating memories for them with the people that they loved. And that all just kind of tied into my why and the reason why I chose that audience and why I chose that type of photography.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. That was so good to hear, especially for the photographers who are listening right now. Now let's go into the 5 tips for building that brand consistency. I'm sure a lot of us are here for these 5 tips. So let's go ahead. If you are listening in the car, don't take notes. But if you are at home somewhere, please take out your phone, take these notes, because Eric and Elizabeth are about to blow your mind with amazing tips that you should take away and implement after this podcast. Let's get into it.
Okay. So first and foremost, I don't know if this one's going to blow your mind, but it's something that we feel is very important, and that's being true to who you are. We just talked about that, being true to who you are, being authentic, and when you talk about being true to who you are, it's like defining your mission, vision, and your values, always sticking true to that in all of the messaging that you do. That's one thing that we firmly believe in.
Number two, make a clear strategy. So develop branding guidelines. And I know Elizabeth touched on this earlier, but it really is the foundation of your business. How you talk about your brand, how your brand is viewed by others, what it looks like, how it feels, and how you want to put it out there to the world is what your branding identity guidelines can bring together for you.
So when you say brand guidelines, what are some specifics that we can, you know, for example, if I was somebody who would want to work on my brand guidelines, what do I need to work on?
Well, some of the pieces of a branding identity guideline that we like to have at 500s are just size of your logo, how you use it, when you use it. Maybe you have a tagline or particular copy that works well with your brand and how and when you use that. It could be something as simple, yeah, like your mission, vision, value statements, but it could be just something as simple as your about, right? Maybe you have like a brief little paragraph that you use, like even in your Instagram profile, the top line. And maybe on Facebook, you have one that's similar, but a little bit longer because it allows for that. So in your branding identity guidelines, you can even include some of those pieces of copy so that everyone who's ever posting anything about you, if you need to give somebody a byline about you, which is just a little informative about, then they can see what you've written in the past and they will keep true to who you are, and you will keep true to who you are across multiple platforms and publications or wherever you're being talked about.
In your bio, what you want to say about yourself so that you have a great bio written. And as we talked about before, your brand colors. This is really important that you have your brand colors in your guideline as well.
So like when you talk about brand colors, so you pick 5 colors and then you try to stick to them like within a website, within your logo. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep, everything. Everything that you do should have your brand colors entwined in it and use one of the variants of it.
What if I add more than 5? Is that gonna like confuse my audience, or is that just, how's that like gonna hurt my branding?
It might. So like there are lots of brands out there that do many colors well, but it's difficult to maintain, you know, more than, and we don't have a particular rule for this. We're not saying 5 colors is too many or it's not enough. We have 4 shades in our brand palette, and that works for us, but they are all kind of in the green tones, in the gray tones, right? So it's not too crazy to keep track of. But when we're designing a piece of collateral, like maybe we're designing a pitch deck or we're designing an ebook, it is really nice to say, okay, our headlines are always this shade of green. Our page numbers are always this color of gray. Our text is always this shade of black, you know, whatever it is. So it's nice to make those rules so you don't have to think about it every single time.
And what's your brand font? Like what font do you want?
Font, yeah, I think that's super important.
It's a really big one. It should be on everything. It should be on your website. It should be in your marketing material and your business cards. That font should be consistent. Cool. And when you do that and you have a social media presence, and nothing's more rewarding. Eric and I were just talking about this yesterday. of building the brand for 500s, and now we look at our Facebook versus our LinkedIn and how it all flows with our colors and our brand and our messaging and how we're writing. And you feel really proud of that because it's consistent.
Cool.
And so we get attention from that as right, well. Right. So
first, so far we have staying true to yourself and number two, developing branding guidelines. Cool. Let's move on to the third tip.
Third for us is getting the whole team on board. And that means that anybody that's working with you understands that the branding guideline that you're creating is for everyone. And we already talked about this, so I'll just quickly run through that. It's so that you can keep producing like consistent branded content and consistent messaging that goes out to the world, right? So that could be for staff, and it also can be for vendors. The thing is that if you leave everybody to their own interpretation of your brand and you don't have consistent guidelines, even if they have really, really good intent, each person's message, each vendor's message that they create is going to be different. So the guideline brings that all together so that you can keep plugging away on your business and doing what brings in revenue while you know the people that are out there working on your messaging still remain consistent. And so that's extremely, extremely important.
Yeah, that's really good.
Number four is use a social media calendar. Yes. So it's designed to organize your company's posts each month with ease and provide information.
Oh, that's so good.
Well, I figured it would be something you might use too, or you might even recommend. Yeah. But it's something that we use every day. So Elizabeth and I like to get together at the end of every month or the week before the end of every month. Uh-huh. And we say, what do we want to talk about? What worked last month? What didn't work? Do you have ideas? And then we sit down and we write up a bunch of posts and we schedule them. And we and we leave room for things that are happening day to day. So if we have a rule that says we have brand staples, and those are specific posts about specific topics pertaining to 500s, right? Like sometimes it's about our services and we post those on, for example, a Wednesday,
or
right?
Our clients. We love our clients.
Yeah. And so we post them on like a Friday or a Monday. And we put it into a calendar. So that way, if either Elizabeth is working on the calendar or the posts or I'm working on it, it's always the same. So we always know that, you know, we need to talk about our clients on Mondays, or we need to, you know, do a certain type of post on Fridays about new ideas or, you know, concepts and branding. But yeah, we get together that last week of every month and we just put all of our ideas together and we say, hey, that's a great one, or that one's not going to work, or save that one for another month, and we schedule it. And we schedule it that way. We don't have to think about it when the day comes. We just post.
And a tip that we can maybe give the listeners is that we have a column. We use Trello for our scheduling for our social media calendar. It works really well for us. And we have a column that's just post to be completed. And in that, every time we have ideas, I'm like the one that wakes up in the middle of the night. It's like, oh my God, I got a revelation. And I write on my little pad beside my bed. And so we write just the titles to all the posts. Like, it's the idea. It's the concept of what's going to be there. And we title them all in there. And sometimes we have an image that, you know, we feel really speaks to that. And it doesn't mean you have to write the post in that moment. It means you need to develop concepts. So when you have a half hour, you can go back in, you can take that post and you can finish it up and write it and then put it in your completed column so that you always have those posts that are ready to go.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Let's do tip number five.
Being creative. Mm-hmm. You know, the guideline is a direction on what you should take in your business, but it doesn't necessarily entail all the creativity that goes behind it. And every business needs to be creative and not be afraid of, you know, creating new ideas and putting your message out there in different ways. You've got your brand and you've established that in your branding guideline. Now you need to be creative in how you're saying it or what you're doing with it. And it's such a huge aspect of success that people need to really consider how they want to grow their business and how they want to change their business and adapt to the times and to the trends and what is happening, and you do that through creativity. And each brand has their own creative style, and you just have to find yours and then, you know, not be afraid to go out and research what other people are doing out there and see what the best ideas are. There's no idea in the world that hasn't been done or hasn't been duplicated. You just need to find your own version of it and take maybe three or four ideas that you've seen or concepts that you like and meld them into one that develops, helps develop your personality for your own business.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and staying on the podcast. Let's do a recap of the five tips that we learned today for brand consistency. So again, number one, staying true to yourself. Number two, developing branding guidelines. Number three, getting your whole team on board. Number four, using a social media calendar. And Erica gave us examples of how they use their calendar. Number five, be creative. So we got all the tips done for today. Hope you guys enjoyed listening because we learned a lot. I learned a lot myself today because Erica and Elizabeth had so much to share with us. Thank you guys again for giving us this information. That is amazing. Thank you guys for joining us today on the podcast episode.
Our pleasure.
No, thanks for having us, Val.
Cool. Let me just explain to my listeners how I met Erica and Elizabeth. So I actually worked with Elizabeth and Erica, like I said before, and they did my website copywriting. So that was super amazing. If you guys want to check out my website, it is valcourse.com. So that is where I have my Instagram marketing 101 program. And they definitely did an amazing job on editing my copywriting. And I think like I said before, it is so important. A lot of us don't realize how important it is that even the writing in our website will be a big factor to how well we convert. So if any business owners are listening, you guys do an analysis on your own copywriting. Did you write your own website copywriting, or did you hire a professional who knows how to address your client and your potential in your potential client so they can buy your product? So once again, that was amazing. Thank you so much, you guys. Let's see, how do we find the 500s? If I was somebody who wanted to reach out to you guys, how do I get in touch?
You can find our website. It is 500s.com, and that is
number five with the word hundreds, .com.
You can find us on Instagram. We are 5_hundreds. We're on Facebook and we're on LinkedIn as well.
So I definitely recommend you guys check them out. They have amazing services, and also as entrepreneurs and small business owners, this is an amazing way to actually do marketing and fulfill your marketing needs on your budget. So these are not things that are long term. You guys can hire 500s for specific things like your website or copywriting or other things like graphic design, developing your logo. So you guys don't have to hire a whole marketing team. You can just hire 500s and they will do an amazing job for you. And I think it's awesome that you guys broke it down. I think that makes you guys so special. So thank you guys. I think that is amazing. Also, if you guys are interested in taking and downloading the five tips that we learned today for developing a brand consistency, then you guys can download their freebie. So 500s has a free PDF guideline, five tips for developing brand consistency, that you can download. I will link it in the description of this podcast episode. So if you are listening on Spotify, you can go ahead and click on that freebie and download that for yourself to keep. That is an amazing free resource that 500s is providing for us today. So that is awesome. Thank you once again. And I think we will all enjoy. Once again, I will also link their website so you guys can go ahead and check them out. Thank you all for listening. I hope you guys can take away so much for yourself. I hope you guys can take action on developing your own brand consistency, because it is so important for the growth of your Instagram account, for the growth of your business and your personal brand. And once again, tune in to the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Goodbye from us, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.